Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 124-116 win over the Nuggets. We'll also hear from Warriors' David West and Steph Curry and head coach Steve Kerr. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, we've reached the halfway point of the NBA season for the Warriors. 33-8, best record in the league. No surprise to anybody, although, you know, they were behind the Rockets for a while there and behind the Celtics, and they still have the same number of wins as the Celtics as we speak. But it's just been a great year, even with some injuries. And lately, Kevin Durant's been out, but Steph Curry is back, and man, he's playing great basketball. Did give us a little scare in that game on Monday when he had the strained knee, but came back. I was kind of surprised he even came back in the game. You would think if he had a tweak that he wouldn't even try it, just kind of take it easy. But he came back and ended up with a 32-point game, so pretty good.
Yeah, and first of all, that's a lie. It can't be halfway through the season. It just can't be. Well, what the heck happened here?
You know, it's going fast. Soccer,
yeah, it really does. And you know, it's like we were talking about when they start out 4-3 and they were kind of wonky at the start. And, you know, what we're saying is how many people are going to remember those games, you know, in January? Are going to remember the games in October and November? And I think they're but a memory now, except for a couple of them. And, you know, they've had a couple of stinkers along the way. The last time they played Denver, they were terrible. They were 3-for-27 from three-point range. Amazing what a difference Steph can make, even without Kevin Durant in there. And that was a little scare last night. All the Twitter doctors were saying, shut him down, shut him down. But he was fine. He came back, and, you know, it was a real good game for him. But I think even Steve Kerr was saying post-game that he didn't think he played that well. And one of the reasons was he turned the ball over six times. But otherwise, I mean, you can see he's like Red Bull and sneakers for this Warriors offense. It's a much different looking offense, as you would expect, when he's not in there. It's much more free-flowing, much more dynamic, much more explosive. Durant can have those moments, too. And, Durant and Curry both in the MVP conversation, Durant in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, they're still a very, very good team without him. But it's just something different, something more dynamic when he's in there. There's, you know, it's a wow factor. It's something that can demoralize the opposition. You look up and all of a sudden it's a 12-3 run and you're out of the game in the third quarter. And we're probably going to see a lot of that going forward. And you know, for Durant, I mean, that's, again, the yin and the yang of having these two elite scorers. If one's out, no worries. The other one takes over. And I think Durant is in no particular hurry. And I don't think the Warriors are either. You know, given the schedule and just given the way they're playing right now, they're good. It's one of those injuries with Durant where if it was the playoffs, he'd probably play. No need to right now.
Well, it really makes you think as far as the MVP race, since we are at the halfway point, and Bruce Jenkins from the San Francisco Chronicle wrote a column about, you know, don't forget about Curry. And it's true. I mean, it could be easy to sort of forget about him because he was injured and the way Kevin Durant played. But you have to say that both of them, Durant and Curry, are right there, you know, at the top of the list. Of course, LeBron James, as Bruce Jenkins pointed out, is having really a great year. Some of the career best numbers that he's put up. So, you know, you can't count him out, of course. He hasn't missed a game this year. And the others, like Russell Westbrook. And there's a bunch of other guys. I mean, there's really a lot of names on the list. Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee as well. It's going to be very interesting to see that conversation as it goes along.
Well, it's funny. LeBron had, like, the lowest plus-minus of his career, the worst of his career in the loss to the Timberwolves the other night. I think it was minus 36. But, you know, he's always going to be in the conversation. You got the usual suspects right now. And James Harden would have been in there. Now this injury sets him back. And the Warriors were able to beat the Rockets without him. Although I have got to say, Gerald Green, what a find. And then January 20th, they'll play him again, and questionable whether Durant or Harden plays in that game. But then you've got Westbrook and Harden and LeBron and Steph and KD, and you make a strong argument for each of these guys. But I think you have seen how different this team looks when Curry's out, and they did play well enough, and you felt like they could for 2 or 3 weeks. That's exactly what happened. They held the fort. But when he comes back, again, it's a different-looking team. It's a much bigger threat at both ends of the floor in transition. So, you know, this is Exhibit A on why he should be a leading candidate for MVP.
Let's listen into what teammate David West said about some of the keys to Steph's success.
I think people get caught up in, you know, the flashy stuff, but, you know, his footwork is, you know, it's incredible. I think that's the one thing that kind of gets lost in it. You know, if you're a basketball person, you understand that, you know, footwork is sort of the foundation. And I don't think we've, you know, seen, you know, the type of footwork he has. He gets his feet set on every single shot. He's never out of range. And he carries the threat to score, you know, all over the floor. So it just makes it, you know, damn near impossible, you know, to contain him. I mean, usually if he's off, it's because of the mistakes that he's making, not, you know, the effect that the other team is having on him. I mean, that's the type of talent and ability he has.
Yeah, I like what David West was saying about the footwork of Steph Curry, because, yeah, that really is the key. I mean, we talk about his dribbling, and I know one of the previous podcasts we were talking about the different ways that he gets shots off, but it does start with footwork. I mean, he's just so good at it. And I guess that's the way it is for the elite players, that if you just were to watch their feet and don't watch anything else, it's pretty amazing to see how they get that all together.
I'm sure some fans have seen the kinds of workouts he does in the off season, and they're sort of breaking new ground in terms of technology and technique, the hand-eye coordination, as well as the footwork. And that's why those ankles are so important. They're so crucial. And why they didn't need to rush him back, even though he wanted to play against the Cavaliers on Christmas. You got to have those ankles sound. And they have been for the last few years. And again, that was one of the reasons he was such a bargain contract. But yeah, the footwork is incredible. And one of the things that makes him an elite one-on-one player. And, you know, the other part of it is he's increased his strength over the years, too, not only in the ankles, but in the upper body as well. And then there's the hand-eye coordination, which ties into the drills I was talking about. It's really quite a combination. And, you know, this is why when he is in there, you get bogged down in a half-court set. He can get a shot. Clay can get a shot. KD can get a shot. But it's been a little bit off without Curry in there from time to time. Now he comes back, and you know, he's able to break down just about any player off the dribble to get open for a three. Sometimes he just needs a screen, or he can blow past you. And it's interesting, last night, you know, even after the calf strain and the knee strain, I guess it was the calf where it meets the knee, he came back in, and he took it right to the hoop. His footwork and his agility looked just fine. And so that's the result of hours and hours and hours of work that he has done to make himself stronger, as well as, you know, more nimble and with that hand-eye coordination.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week. They serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
You know, you mentioned Denver beating up on the Warriors last time that they met, and, you know, the terrible shooting for the Warriors. And Denver, I mean, they kind of look like an up-and-coming team. They have a bunch of different guys who can score. I thought Lyles was pretty impressive coming off the bench. You know, several guys who could score. Murray was fun to watch as well. But I guess the biggest difference is when you see the depth the Warriors have. When a team like the Warriors, it's tough for anybody to come in and consistently win and win a series against them because, you know, guys like Livingston, West, who, by the way, played in his 1,000th career game, Jordan Bell just keeps getting better, Nick Young. I mean, all these guys did some scoring in that game Monday.
Yeah. West was terrific. Sean Livingston was really good in that last game against Denver. And Denver, I think, is an up-and-coming team. They've got some scorers. They were missing Millsap. They're going to miss him for a while longer. He's had the wrist injury. Gary Harris, I'm very impressed by. Will Barton can go off for some big games as well. And you got Jokic, who had a triple-double against the Warriors, looked very good. You know, I think the one thing maybe that's missing, aside from a little more depth, is sort of that killer instinct. Mark Kisla wrote about it in the Denver newspaper that they need a jerk. They need a guy with sort of a, you know, kind of, if you want to use that word loosely, you know, in the vein of a Draymond Green, somebody who brings some fire, some edge to the team. They don't seem to have that. I mean, Jokic's nickname is Big Honey.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, it's a great nickname, but when you're banging bodies in the paint in the NBA, I don't know. But that's maybe the one thing that's missing. But they are an up-and-coming team. They are a team to watch, and I really like the trajectory, and they've got a good coach. And, they pounded the Warriors last time by 15 points. Some of that was that the Warriors are just missing open shots, and they made up for that in the next game. And, of course, having Curry on board definitely helped with that. So that's a team that I like anyway, that their arc. It's not nearly going to be enough, of course. It's going to take 2 or 3 years for them to get up to be a serious contender. But they do have a young core there. And Jamal Murray's just, what, 20 years old? See the way he broke down at Iguodala last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's very athletic and looks more experienced than that. You're right. And yeah, the triple-double, that was impressive for Jokic. But the one thing, you know, you talk about Warriors shooting threes and three-point shooters, you know, no doubt you're going to be excited by that. And Nick Young adds to that when they added him this year. But I think the mid-range shooters, that's something that's kind of underrated because David West is so dependable on those 15-footers. And you mentioned Livingston, same thing. I mean, if he gets by somebody, he can just pull up from 15 and it's just money with him.
Well, you're always looking for the layup or the three-pointer, right? That's the way the league is. That's the way offenses are constructed right now. But that shot is there when those other shots are not available, when you have West and Livingston in the game, and that's just fine. You know, you can't forget the value of those shots, especially if you're very accurate on them. And you better be. I mean, the metrics say so. You need to be accurate on those shots, and these guys are. And West is, I know there's some guys in the Warriors saying he looks like he's 25 now. I mean, he got that ring. He went into the offseason and wanted to come back here, and he threw himself into the weight room, and he's even stronger than he's been before. But also, the ability to keep up his level of play now that we're in the middle of the season, he's just been so invaluable to this team. And by the way, another guy brings some edge on the floor, another sort of enforcer type, you know.
Yeah.
And then Livingston has, you know, been up and down. He was really good, though, against Denver coming off the bench.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the layup or three because there was a situation in the game Monday that really caught my attention. I got a kick out of it. I even tweeted out a photo. It was Draymond Green right near the basket. He's going to dunk. I mean, it's an easy dunk, and he throws it out to Steph for a three that he misses, and the reaction that Steve Kerr had was priceless. I actually took a photo off the television and tweeted it because he just couldn't believe it. It's like, yeah, I know we like to shoot threes, but you've got a dunk, and you're throwing it out for a three. I mean, that's today's NBA, I guess, right?
Yeah. It was almost to look like, what has this game come to? You
know? Exactly.
It's like, holy cats. I mean, and Steph had a funny comment after the game. He said, you know, he was asking for the ball. And so Draymond's going to oblige him in that situation. And Steph said he was a little thirsty. And he missed it. Now, if he'd have made it, I don't know if Kerr would still have that same look on his face. He might have a wry smile along with that, but you know, that when it gets to that point where it's a little ridiculous when you're passing up dunks, you know, and we've seen that, and the Warriors will do that. There was another two-on-one. I think it was Curry with Zaza, and he knew Zaza would be underneath the basket, so he steps back for the three. It was a two-on-one where he could have fed it underneath to Zaza for the layup, but I think in that situation, maybe that's the call. But when you're all alone under the bucket and your defender is running away from you, it's like, wow. It just shows you the way the Warriors approach things sometimes, that the pendulum can swing a little too far away, and then it just falls off its axis and goes off into space.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that last night. I give Denver credit. They fought back, and they made a little interesting late. It was kind of like the Dallas game looked like, where the Warriors were going to make it way too interesting, and then Curry made the three to win it. But, they made enough plays down the stretch. I applaud Denver for hanging in there, not letting the Warriors blow them out.
You know, speaking of Steve Kerr, he is also shaking his head, like a lot of NBA coaches right now, about the LaVar Ball coverage that ESPN and others are giving to him. I mean, the comments that he made about Luke Walton losing the locker room there with the Lakers, that really upset a lot of coaches. I mean, we saw Rick Carlisle come out strongly about that, against it. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the coverage.
This is the world we live in now. I was thinking about ESPN and they laid off, I don't know, 100 people? How many people did they lay off over the last year? Well over 100. Many of whom were really talented journalists covering the NBA. And this is not an ESPN judgment. It's a societal thing more than anything. But, where we're going is we're going away from covering the game, and we're getting closer to just sensationalized news. And it's not even news, really. It's just complete nonsense. But if you package that irrational nonsense with some glitter and some ribbon, people are going to watch. So I've talked to people in the media this year. I said, why do you guys have to cover that guy? They say, well, we don't want to. Nobody wants to, but our bosses tell us we have to, because of the ratings, because of the readership. So somewhere, I guess it's in Lithuania, LaVar Ball is laughing at all of us. People are eating out of his hands for no apparent reason, other than, he's become like the Kardashian of the NBA or something, and that sells. And that's what is true in politics and entertainment and now in sports. It doesn't matter if there's any substance involved with an issue. It's just, can we make it really interesting for no apparent reason? There's nothing interesting about that story. You know how many parents of my players have probably been at home going, why isn't he playing my kid, And yet we're sticking a microphone in front of his face because it's apparently it gets ratings. I don't know who cares, but people care. They must care, or ESPN wouldn't be spending, whatever they're spending to send reporters to Lithuania when they're laying off people who are writing really substantial, people like Ethan Strauss and Mark Stein are getting laid off. So, again, this is not a condemnation of ESPN. It's not. It's a societal issue, and it's been going on for many, many years, and it's really, I think, invading the sports world now. I feel horrible for Luke. That's my guy. He's one of my best friends. He shouldn't have to deal with this. But to me, one of the things about the NBA has always been a haven from the parents, right? The guys who coach high school are the ones who really have to deal with the parents. I've never had to talk to a parent who was upset about playing time. I'm sure there are plenty out there, but they don't have a voice in the NBA. But for whatever reason, we're giving this guy a voice, and Luke's got to deal with it, and it's a shame.
Yeah, the Kardashian of the NBA or something like that. It's true. I mean, I don't know how you avoid it, because it is hard for media companies. I have to defend the media a little bit, because if it's out there and everybody's talking about it, just like we are right now, it's hard to avoid it. I mean, you don't want to go out of your way to give LaVar Ball coverage. And I understand that ESPN is, they've sent people to Lithuania when they've been laying off other, media members, that they're spending money on something like that. It does get a little ridiculous, but it's a tough one to solve. You got somebody here who's, he's got a big mouth, and it's creating a lot of headlines, and you wish that you could just kind of get away from it.
I've had a question about the Kardashians from the get-go. The question is, why?
I know. I know.
And I admit, I don't get it. I admit I don't get it, but I understand that they've created an empire based on notoriety. And a lot of people have fed into it, and I guess people watch that reality show. And so LeVar Ball is taking a page from that book, and Steve Kerr is right. In this day and age, that's what gets clicks. That's what gets eyeballs. It's the circus. And so I think for ESPN, it's not an either-or. Oh, okay, do we keep Mark Stein on board, or do we cover LeVar Ball? That's not really the dynamic, the question they're asking, but that's what it ends up being, and it's a damn shame. Ethan Sherwood Strauss, for example, very good writer, and he had great coverage of the Warriors, and I'm glad that Steve mentioned him. It's a shame that that's the way it is nowadays. It's just about the circus. It's just about the shiny thing. And so I guess ESPN is responding to what they see, to what their readers and what their listeners and viewers are responding to. But, when they're going over to Lithuania, come on, that's just ridiculous. They got referees with Big Baller brand shirts on because it's his league. I mean, that's just a clown show to me. And then, but I understand what Steve Kerr is saying about LeVar making a comment about Luke Walton. That's where the coaches start circling the wagon. So I'm not surprised that Rick Carlisle said what he did, what Steve Kerr said what he did. Stan Van Gundy isn't going to even to talk to ESPN, between quarters or have their pregame meetings. I didn't see that.
And his own brother is one of the analysts.
Yeah. Van Gundy saying, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to play into that if that's the way they're going to cover basketball, to where this loudmouth parent is acting like a little league parent and criticizing the coach.
Yeah.
And I totally understand and get why the coaches are reacting that way. I think Van Gundy is kind of misdirecting his anger there, because these people who do the broadcast, they don't have anything to do with the overall strategy of covering LeVar Ball. It's not their fault. But I guess that's the way he wants to send a message. Listen, when this first started, when LeVar Ball first started mouthing off, when Lonzo was coming, and he was on the ESPN broadcast of the UCLA game, I watched all the UCLA games because that's the team I root for, but I got a kick out of it at first. I thought it was funny, and I started talking about it on my show. And then after a while, the whole thing just spun out of control.
Yeah.
That's where we are in sports media nowadays, Joe. It's about having a hot take. It's about making noise. It's about generating light, but not heat. And so I guess that's one of the reasons I'm not doing it anymore. I like to create light and maybe a little heat. And I guess it's not enough heat for some people. That's just the way it's going nowadays. And I think Steve Kerr nailed it on what's happening. And he was quick to say it's not necessarily an indictment of ESPN, but of society as a whole. And he doesn't want to crack on his former employer. But I think it's an indictment of both ESPN and society.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, how about some real news here? And I think this is really could be a feel-good story if Steph Curry ends up being a part owner with Sean P. Diddy Combs of the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know how the NFL feels about those two guys, being owners. It would be a great story. They'd be the first African-American owners in NFL history. That's part of it. But I also think you've got somebody who really cares about not only the NBA, of course, because he's a star player, but he cares about sports. He cares about the Panthers and Curry. And I think he'd be a great part owner of that team. That would be an interesting development. Let's hear what Steph had to say about the seriousness of this.
It's a pretty interesting opportunity. I mean, I've had conversations with plenty of people about the right way to go about it and what, kind of just the different approaches I could personally take. And so obviously I have a day job, but I got people that are plugged in and trying to see, you know, how to make that happen. So I haven't been nothing really to say about it besides that I'm very interested and very willing to do what it takes to make that happen.
What intrigues you about that opportunity?
I mean, obviously I'm a fan first and foremost, and been a fan since I was seven. When they showed up in Charlotte, so to be able to be a part of something that represents Charlotte so well, my hometown. I know a lot of the guys that play, obviously, for the team and what they represent, and just, you know, obviously the conversations around the NFL and all that kind of stuff. Maybe having some input on that, so that all those things combined, just it being mainly from it being, you know, the team that represents Charlotte on the national scale, and something that I can plug into my hometown vibe is a huge part of it.
So what do you think, Ray? That's Steph talking about maybe being a Panthers owner. Do you like it?
I love it. But have you seen who owns NFL franchises?
Oh, man.
It's good old boys club.
Exactly.
You know, you think they're going to vote in somebody like P. Diddy? I'll be surprised if they do. I think it'd be great. I think it's exactly what the league needs, especially after what's happened the last couple of years. And I think Curry would be a wonderful owner. And he's passionate, and he loves that team. I don't know how he'd divide his time, you know, but I'm sure he'd find a way because he's a pretty busy guy now already. So I think he understands how to schedule and all that. But, you know, I'm not optimistic it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it happen.
The only thing that I think would be tough, and we're seeing this right now with Derek Jeter, who is a former player, is that Derek Jeter, is getting a lot of criticism that he didn't get as a player because it is a different job, and those decisions that are made, they receive a different scrutiny. So I think it could be difficult for a player to accept. I'm sure for Jeter, it's pretty tough because how often was he even criticized as a Major League Baseball player? Not that often. I mean, he was, you know, had a clean record and he was a great player and he won World Series. But, you know, as a Marlins part owner, he's been really hearing it because they had to trade Stanton and everything and some of the stuff that's gone on. So, you know, I wonder how Steph, he would definitely handle it well, but I wonder, you know, how that would sit with him and thinking about that while you're trying to think about playing an NBA season.
Yeah, my only criticism to Jeter when he was playing is he wasn't the best shortstop on his own team. But other than that,
defensively, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, I don't think Steph's going to have a fire sale, right? Jeter's having right now. And you look at the background of that franchise as well. It just seems like more of the same. But I don't know if Curry would be hands-on in that way. I think he's smart enough to know to leave the football decisions to the football guys, and, you know, he wants to be involved, and I think he would be a public face of the team, and I think in that way it would be really good for the Panthers, especially after the allegations against Jerry Richardson, and really good for the NFL. But I don't think he would be as involved day-to-day maybe as Derek Jeter is.
More Dubs OT in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Let's talk about the upcoming schedule. The next game is Wednesday against the Clippers, and the Warriors have been owning the Clippers. They won that last game. Man, Blake Griffin got clipped right in the head on that inadvertent elbow there. And I hope he's okay, but man, that was kind of scary in that last game.
Yeah, it was scary. And, you know, you want to see all the players on the floor. You always do. And let's face it, as we said in the last podcast last week, the Warriors love to beat the Clippers in whatever configuration, whatever iteration they are.
I'd love to beat Blake Griffin. Let's face it, but you know that was scary. You want him to be healthy. They had a good win with Lou Williams going off for 34 points, and they are hanging in there despite all those injuries. Jordan also had a huge game. But to me, you change the players, you change the actors, it's still the same play with the Warriors. I don't see any reason why they can't continue to pound on Clippers like they have for the last few years.
Yeah, JaVale McGee, it looked like he was sort of saying, yeah, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to hit you in the head with that. But you got the Clippers, yeah. then a road trip, and it is a five-game road trip that'll take the Warriors starting out in Milwaukee and eventually be in Cleveland on Monday. So Milwaukee, just for the mere fact that Antetokounmpo has been playing so well, that's going to be fun to watch. And DeRozan, he's a fun guy to watch on Saturday in Toronto. And then LeBron James and the Cavs, every time the Warriors play the Cavaliers, and it's not that often during the regular season. You had that game on Christmas, and now you have this one. It's really going to be intense. I think the intensity picks up. I hope it's similar to that Christmas game. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, and I hope it's similar to their last trip. I think they'll bring the same focus. This is a tough trip. You've got some tough opponents, and another MVP candidate, I think, in the Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's been up and down, but he's been fantastic this year, and as he continues to expand his repertoire, and it's always turned up to 11 when the Warriors are playing in Cleveland, and I mean that literally, because the sound system there will make your ears bleed. Toronto, last I checked, one loss at home this year, so that is going to be a tough trip. I don't think I'd be surprised if they lose a game or two. Maybe I think maybe they lose a game on the trip, and they've got a stretch of 3-4 nights also. And then they're at Houston again, Houston without James Harden. But still a team that is going to be a threat on their home floor against the Warriors. We played them pretty tough the last time, even without Harden. So I think, another trip that will get their full focus.
Absolutely. Well, Ray, thanks a lot. Always a lot to talk about. It's been great going through the first half of the season. We'll see how the Warriors do in the second half.
Absolutely. And if it goes as quickly as the first half, I think in about 5 minutes we'll be talking about the finals.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.